Not too long ago, I preached about things that might appear to be one thing and really be another. About people who say they are one thing but are really another. Rumors can get started and can be very dangerous to one's reputation and one's integrity. Our Lord Jesus is quite well aware of what others are saying and professing to believe. He knows what was being said about him then, just as he does today. And so Jesus asks the disciples to share with him what is being said about him. I don't know how people came up with this, these things. The disciples just were hearing all the things that people were saying, and they said to him, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." Well, if you think about it, these statements are not that far off about what some people are saying about Jesus today. You've heard, I'm sure, people say, "Jesus was a great teacher." Or, "Oh, Jesus was a prophet, a preacher, and a healer." And this one really torques me. Forgive me for saying that, but it really upsets me. Where some people will say, "Jesus is just one of many ways to heaven, and not the only way." So Jesus asked his disciples this question so that they would hear the stark contrast between those statements and the truth which Peter would proclaim when Jesus asked them specifically, "Who do you say that I am?" Luke's gospel gives us the short answer, with Peter simply saying, "The Christ of God." Matthew, who was an eyewitness to that day at Caesarea Philippi, recorded Peter as also saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John," or Simon Barjona, "for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I want to repeat that last part for you, but I want to add in some of the Greek so that you can really hear what was going on. Jesus said to Simon, "I also say that you are Petros, and upon this Petra I will build my church." Now, Petros means small rock or stone, as opposed to Petra, which means rock or bedrock, a foundational stone. Can you see how this gives a much clearer indication of what kind of rock Jesus was talking about? It's clearly a distinction between the two, and you can't confuse or misinterpret them. Jesus' meaning was that Peter, Petros, would be a solid individual, a leader, who Jesus would eventually rely on. But he is certainly not the foundation of the church by any means. We're all like stones that go into the building, the church. But the foundation of Jesus' church would need to be much bigger, much deeper, more reliable, and more solid. The statement of faith that Peter made when he announced Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, that, my friends, is the rock. That is the rock, the foundation of truth that is and would be the basis, the foundation of the church, a faith that endures. Let that not be misunderstood. Saying Jesus is a great teacher, or, "Oh, he was just a prophet, a preacher, a healer, or one of many ways to heaven," or even that someone else is the way, the truth, and the life, poisons that foundation, weakening it to the point of collapse and rubble. And I must confess, it's unnerving and unsettling when those statements come from within the Christian community. It dilutes and waters down the faith. It's deceitful and it's false. And my friends, let me say this clearly. It's straight from the father of lies. There comes a time when you just have had enough of these falsehoods, tired of hearing all of the lies, a time when the truth must be told and the faith professed, no matter what. It's time to proclaim the true identity of the church. We as the body of Christ can continue to ignore the poisons that are flowing through, or we can stand up, trusting in Almighty God for His provision, for His blessing, and for His strength in the days to come, like Abraham, relying on our faith in Him, that somehow we will make it through, somehow we will continue to proclaim the one true gospel of Jesus Christ, undaunted, undeterred, and undiluted. As the Apostle Paul encourages the church in Ephesians 6:13, this message is for us today as well. Let us take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. My brothers and sisters, let us be confident that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And let us together boldly with blessed assurance profess that faith that endures. So I have to ask you a question today. Who is Jesus? Is Jesus the Son of God that God the Father proclaimed on the mountain that day on Mount Hermon during the Transfiguration? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus the one who required repentance of sin and then provided full forgiveness? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus the one who sacrificed himself on the cross, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who touched the hearts and cured bodies and souls of people who have faith in him and still does so today? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who came to fulfill the law and the prophets? Or is he someone else who turns a blind eye at the law that his father gave to Moses? Is Jesus someone who believes every word that is in the scriptures as the written word of God? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who invites people to come to him and be transformed, never to be the same again, healed of affliction, disease, addictions, perversions, and sinful behavior? Or is he someone else who says, come to me and stay as you are. Have fun and forget what my father said. That was for another time. I find it remarkable that there are people who like to call themselves Christians today who cannot or will not attest to the fact of Jesus's true identity, that he is who God the Father says he is. They'll either say, oh, he was that great prophet or teacher, or even he had that great power that was used to lead us to his own divinity. Let me tell you about one famous German theologian from the 19th century. His name, Friedrich Daniel Ernst Schleiermacher. Well, Schleiermacher said this. He believed that Jesus had more God consciousness than any other human ever had. And others, like Episcopal priest Marcus Borg, claim that the story of Jesus is just a metaphor, while others claim that Jesus is pure mythology. Ouch! The retired Bishop of Newark, John Shelby Spong, believes that the atonement, the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross to pay the price for our sins, is child abuse by God the Father, and that the resurrection never happened. Well, there's more that could be said about that. There are other things that he doesn't believe as well, like the virgin birth, or that Jesus ever performed miracles. But that's another sermon for another day. I just want to know how a bishop like that can stand at the altar and say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. What drummer is he marching to? Why is he a priest? These descriptions of unfaith are like fingernails scraping on the blackboard. But let's get back to one thing that is most certainly clear. You either accept the divinity of Jesus Christ as the only Son of God, who died on the cross for the atonement of our sins, or not. You believe in him and what the Bible says about him, or not. If you do believe in him, then my brothers and sisters, you can call yourselves a follower of Christ, or as they proclaimed, Christians. Otherwise, you're making up another religion altogether, and you're following a different God. I suggest to you that these people need to end the charade and either submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ or not. The truth is, you either believe what the Bible says or you don't. And if you don't believe what the Bible says, then please call yourself something other than a Christian and start living whatever truth it is that you do believe in. But I'm grateful today that I'm preaching to the choir. But you need to know what's out there. The Apostle John warns us of this kind of deceptions with the words from 2 John 1:7 to 9. He wrote, "Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." Some major questions arise today amongst many people. Belief in what? Belief in whom? Well, we as followers of Jesus Christ, like Abraham, believe in God the Father, who also believed that God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In addition, we believe that God sent his Holy Spirit, who, as Jesus told us in the words from John 14:26, "The Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all that I said to you." If we acknowledge and believe that much, then we also should accept and profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, seeking a deeper relationship with him through prayer and through spending time reading and listening to his holy word. And yet we're still fighting a battle with those who do not believe and question the truth, especially the Bible as truth. I want you to, in closing, listen to these words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 7:24-27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, like a wise man who built his house on the rock, rains came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. If the foundation is faulty, so is its future. If our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ, and the words that he spoke to us is solid, as if built on the rock, then our future is undeniable. But if we waffle or waver, unsure of what we believe, or even if we believe at all, then we're like the foolish person who built on the sand, and our future is like that old song, dust in the wind. An even worse scenario is the person who begins with a solid foundation, but sells out to the world, sells out to the popular thinking of the masses. You know, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and why can't we all just get along? We'll all be okay. We're good people. In my honest opinion, that kind of thinking is the poison that destroys. Faith is supposed to transform culture, But with a weak foundation, the opposite happens. Culture transforms the faith. And Satan loves it that way. When the foundation weakens, it's easy for him to seep into the sand that remains. Today, as we worship and celebrate the Holy Eucharist, let us thank God the Father on this Father's Day for His Son and His sacrifice, for the gift of His Word, and let our true identity reflect who we truly are, who we truly love, and what we truly believe. Only the Holy Spirit can help us to be who we say we are, to show the world Jesus in our hearts, reflecting the image of God through our love and belief in Jesus Christ and His true identity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.